space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. It's a five-year mission to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before. That's right, you're not at a Star Trek convention, but mankind has been fascinated with the skies and the stars and space since probably when Adam and Eve were on the planet. The night sky, you look up at it, the wonders that are there. And the Star Trek series has brought exploration of space into our front rooms. It's made it universal, and it's almost part of the modern life in the Western world. There is a desire for mankind to explore the wonders that we see at night. The oldest accurately dated star charts are actually Egyptian, dating back to 1534 BC. And the Babylonian astronomers in Mesopotamia actually started cataloguing the stars. So there is a desire, right from the early days, to explore the wonders that are there. Please turn with me to Psalm 19. Psalm 19, because in these winter nights that come on us so early in the evenings now, when we go out for a walk, I go out almost every night walking the dog, and the stars are up there, shining down. Psalm 19, and in verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices like a strong man to run its race. Its rising is from one end of the heaven, and its circuit to the other end. And there is nothing hidden from its heat. Did you know within the night sky there are only 6,000 stars that are visible to the naked eye? But from any one point on the earth, you can only see 2,500 to 3,000 of them. When it is truly dark, the Milky Way will actually cast a shadow on the ground. But light pollution is detracting from being able to see the glory and the wonder of the stars that were created. In the year 2000, a survey was carried out studying light pollution. In the UK, only 11% of England, Scotland and Wales, it is actually possible to have a pure dark sky to see all of the stars. Most of those areas are unpopulated or very, very rural. It's amazing how Satan has moved everybody into cities which have got all the bright lights. And on a clear night, you might be lucky to find 12 stars in the sky. There is that much light pollution. This afternoon, I want to look briefly at a couple of ways that the heavens declare God's glory. There are lots of facts and figures in space. I will try not to get too carried away with them, and I'll try to put them on a level that is relatively easy to understand. But God and Christ designed these. Christ spoke, and they came into being. So let us turn back to Genesis 1. Genesis 1, starting in verse 14. Then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons, for days and years. And in verse 15, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth. And it was so. Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was very good. And then dropping down to verse 31. And God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So, the accuracy in space in the creation of the stars. I'm going to compare it. The sun to something that man makes to a very high level of accuracy, a billiard ball. Now, a billiard ball is one of the most spherical objects that we have in everyday life. And according to the Billiard Association, the ball is 2.25 inches in diameter. And you are allowed a bump or a scratch not more than 0.005 of an inch. So anything bigger than that, the ball's rejected. It's not spherical enough. And they actually have a smoothness ratio, which is 0.002. So that's quite a small tolerance level. Now, our sun in the sky is pretty much the same as all of the other stars. There's variations in classifications, but the same principles apply to all of the stars that we see up in the sky at night. Gravity is one of the greatest laws in the universe. It holds the sun orbiting around the galaxy in its place. It holds the planets orbiting around the sun. And it also holds the sun in a spherical shape. Now, we know how big the billiard ball is, but how big is the sun? Well, from side to side, you could put 133 Earths right the way across it. The surface area is equivalent to about 12,000 Earths. And if it was a goldfish bowl, you could put 1.3 million Earths inside. So how smooth is the sun? Well, we saw that a billiard ball needed a smoothness ratio of 0.002. Well, the sun's spherical accuracy has a smoothness factor of 0.009. Several hundred times more spherical than a billiard ball, and an awful lot bigger. Man can make things to amazing levels of accuracy, but nothing compared to the level of accuracy that we see in the sun and the stars. The second way in which the heavens show the glory of God. Turn with me, please, to 1 Corinthians 1. It's a scripture that we refer to quite well. Quite a lot, and we know very well. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 25. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. The strength of man. August the 6th, 1945, three aircraft headed out towards Japan. Japan's defence policy in that time was, unless there were six or more bombers, don't worry sending up any fighters to intercept. It's a waste of effort and energy. Had they known that Elona Gay was carrying the world's first atomic bomb, they might have changed their mind. Little boy was dropped at 8:15 local time. 43 seconds later, it exploded half a kilometre above Hiroshima. It had the equivalent power output of 15,000 tonnes of TNT. In that explosion, according to Einstein's formula, there is E equals mc squared. Energy and mass, they're related, and it's a big sum, so I won't go into all those figures. But mankind managed to turn 0.6 grams of matter into pure energy in the one explosion. 0.6 grams. Now, we just talked about gravity holding the sun in a spherical shape and holding it in its path. But the immense gravity at the centre of the sun is actually what keeps the sun burning. There is a thermonuclear reaction that actually turns the hydrogen into helium. Every second of every minute, of every hour, day in, day out, the sun converts 600 million tonnes of hydrogen into 620 million tonnes of hydrogen into 615 million tonnes of helium. It turns 5 million tonnes of matter into pure energy every second. Mankind's ability and its peak of his strength managed to convert 0.6 of a gram of matter into energy. Every second, the sun converts 5 million tonnes. And okay, the modern weapons are now about 1,000 times more efficient, in quotes, than Hiroshima's bomb. But then again, our sun is quite small compared to some. In fact, the largest one is about 2,000 times bigger than our sun. Man's ultimate example of his strength, in that of a nuclear bomb, with his weaponry, is nothing compared to the sun within our sky. And every single star around the universe has the same power. It is an awesome power. The more and more we see with science, the more and more it points to the fact that there is a creator God with awesome power and awesome ability. Thirdly, and finally this morning, how else does the heavens declare God's glory? Well, as I mentioned at the beginning, I'm a bit of a Trekkie. And Star Trek, they go out and explore space. But how big is space? Well, space is measured in light years. How far light can travel in 1 year? It can go a little bit faster than you and I can, 671 million miles an hour. So the light that is coming in through the windows took 8.3 minutes to get from the sun to here. Our nearest neighbouring star takes light 4.3 years to get here. To cross our galaxy, 30,000 years. To cross the Milky Way, 100,000 years. It is estimated that the observable universe, and that is the universe that we can see from Earth, from one side to the other, is 92 billion light years. The most distant object that has yet been found was a star called GRB-090423, and I'll come back to that in a minute. But that was 13.1 billion light years away. And in 2010, the astronomers estimated that there were 300 sextillion stars. That is one of the few numbers that is larger than the US trade deficit. That is 3 with 23 zeros after it. So how does this show God's glory? Well, turn with me, please, to Psalm 147. And as I mentioned, the furthest known star was called GRB-090423. Well, Psalm 147 and verse 4. He counts the number of the stars. He calls them all by name. He doesn't give them catalogue reference numbers. He gives them names. And he counts the numbers of them. We only estimate that in the visible universe there are 300 sextillion of them. Great is our Lord, in verse 5, and mighty in power. His understanding is infinite. How awe-inspiring is that? God and Christ designed it. Christ spoke and it came into existence. The glory of God's power, majesty, wisdom and might is certainly shown by the heavens. In this end time, during the daytime when we look up at the sun, we take it for granted. It gives us light, it gives us heat. But it also has awesome power or awesome energy in it. Mankind at night time, if they can see the stars, can't see them properly, can't see all of the wonder that is there created for us to see God's glory. When science is king, we take man's achievements as awe-inspiring, as indeed some of them are. But compared to God's awesome ability and power, they are as dust. So the next time you're out at night, look up at the stars. Imagine what they should look like on a really dark night, because the heavens do declare God's work. And the best part is, if we hold fast to God's way and overcome, we will become the very children of God, and we will have the ability to actually explore space, to boldly go where no man has gone before.